thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So last week, we started a series called Is Jesus Enough? And just the foundational verse we began is 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And we started to delve into what does that mean that his grace is sufficient. And we talked about the goodness of God. And then we went into Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, which says, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work. And that's to do his will, working what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's what we want to focus on. What does it mean that he is making us complete for every good work? And last week we touched on what it meant for Jesus to be the bread of life, when he says, I am the bread of life. And these message series are coming from the I ams of Jesus in John. So today, as we continue that thought, is Jesus enough? Is he enough for me every day in my life? What is his purpose in my life? Why do I have to walk with him? Why do I have to believe in this Jesus? Why do I have to accept this Jesus in my life? What's in it for me in a weird kind of way? Why do I need him? Unfortunately, the problem so much of this world sees, you know, we sang, I was created for this. I was born for this, to reveal your glory. The unfortunate thing is so many people in our churches are not walking in that. They are not revealing the glory of God. Why? Because they lack the depth of that intimate relationship. Because they've said, you know what, Jesus? You're just enough for me not to go to hell, and we'll leave it at that. Let's have that cordial relationship, okay? You're good enough not to get to hell, but we'll just kind of leave it at that. I still want to do things my way. I still want to believe things about your word that I want to believe in, and the other stuff, I'll just chalk it up for other reasons, whether, oh, that was for the time, you know, back then it doesn't apply today. When his word says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. And Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word of God. He was with God. He is God. We in John 1:1. So many of us lack that, are not walking with him to the point where we see who he is. See, his word says taste and see. In other words, give me a real try. You know, when my daughter, my little 13-month-old, when we give her new food, you know what she does? She does, you know, sticks out her little tongue on the spoon, you know, is this good? Is this good? She kind of tastes it. And then she gets a little braver if it's tempting to the palate. And she takes just opens her mouth up a little bit more and tries to take a little nibble. Then she realizes it's good and consumes it all. Too many people are still nibbling at the table. They're still nibbling at the table. They haven't taken that big old tablespoon and just started shoveling Jesus in, his word, who he is in our lives. So today, we're going to look at I am the light of the world. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Face value, we look at that and go, okay, so Jesus is the light of the world. Sin and evil is darkness. If I walk with Jesus, I'll walk in the light, and I'll avoid the darkness, and that won't be in my life, and that'll be good, right? It's a little more than that. It's a little deeper than that. It's not that simple. Because let's look at something here. What does, when he says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Think about it. He doesn't say, we'll have a light in the darkness. There's other scriptures, you know, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And I shared a message on that a few months ago. But that's not what this is talking about. He's not just saying, I'm going to light you up and therefore darkness won't be in your life. Or you'll be freed from sin, of the darkness of sin. He says, I am the light, but that you'll have the light of life. What is that referring to? And this is where our challenge is. Well, one commentary says this, all things need energy to grow. Think about that. Light is energy. We need light to grow. Trees need light to grow. I tried planting grass many, many times on a little strip of land on my in my house, but there was trees next door that were overhanging, and grass would never grow. It would start to pop up and then just die. Why? It was not getting enough light. We need light to grow. We get energy from the food we eat. Plants get energy from light through the process called photosynthesis. We all learned that in high school and probably forgot it the day we graduated. This is how light affects the growth of plant. Without light, a plant would not be able to produce energy it needs to grow. So Jesus says, he who follows me will have the light of life. If the same God that created me out of the dust of the earth created plants and trees and created them to need light, we need light, okay, to grow. So light is nourishment. Light facilitates progress and growth in our lives. It doesn't just create visual paths for us. It does that. That's part of it. But that's looking outside of us. He's talking, if you follow me, you will have the light of life. You will have the energy. Light is energy. You'll have what I have to offer you, so you will grow from within. You'll have what you need. See, sometimes a plant will not get enough light and will have problems with too little light. Plants affected by light shortages are too blue light or little blue light will have the following signs. These are the signs of vegetation, things that are meant to grow that lack light. Stems will be leggy or stretched out. Leaves turn yellow. Leaves are too small. Leaves or stems are spindly with brown edges or tips on leaves. Our lower leaves, they dry up. And they just don't grow. We've all tried to plant things and we saw what happens. They wilt. They fade. They don't become what they were meant to become. I mean, how many of us, especially when you first move into your new apartment as a young single adult or something, you decide, I'm going to get a plant, or I'm going to get a flower, or I'm going to plant the garden. And in your mind, you get this little plant or these seeds, and you're envisioning this beautiful tree or this beautiful thing or these beautiful roses. And what happens? They just don't look like the ones at the flower shop, do they? They don't look like the ones on TV. They don't even look like the ones in the picture of the pot you bought it in. Because those were taken and those have grown in optimal conditions. Optimal, perfect conditions. where there was enough light and nourishment and sustenance to let them become what they were meant to become. See, light equals radiance. And the word of life, the Greek word for of life, means, the Greek word is zoes, Z-O-E-S. It means life, both physical and of spiritual existence. So when he's saying you will have the radiance of perfect existence, both physical and spiritual, is what he's actually saying in terms of the Greek thought here. You will have the radiance that, who is the light of this world? Jesus. So you will have, you will reflect his radiance, his glory on you, him in you, is his presence on you, his light shining through. That will equate to growth and radiance and exhibition of his physical and spiritual existence. You will grow. You will look like him. You will think like him. Why? Because it is his light. It's not my light. It's not fabricated light. You know, they talk about people who have what we call seasonal affect disorder. They go on in wintertime when the days are shorter. People get depressed because there's not enough what? Light. Sunlight. So what happens? We have these fake light bulbs now that are supposed to imitate the impact of the light of the sun. And they work to some degree, but are they what they're supposed to be? Do they fully work? How many of us would say, you know what, I would rather sit in my living room with one of these bulbs than be out in the sun, running around at the beach, at a park, walking, taking a walk, whatever it might be, receiving, or just sitting on my deck in the light. How many of us would prefer to sit under a lamp? It serves a purpose, but it's not perfect. It's not perfect. But we have a God who is perfect. His light is pure. His light that nurtures the soul. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, is perfect. His light that nurtures the physical body is perfect. Everything he reflects is perfect. And in him, we are meant to reflect that. We show that. How do we show that? I mean, think about it. Somebody who's been out in the sun, what do you say? Oh, you got a tan. That's a nice tan. It reveals that they've been out in the light, in the purity of the light that God created. Well, what if they were to say, wow, look at you. You're radiating the light of Jesus. Well, how do I radiate the light of Jesus? One, I have to take the light of Jesus with me in every condition, in every circumstance, in every way. I have to take the light of Jesus. Because remember, of life is external, how I look on the outside, how I present myself outside, as well as internal. How I respond, how I react, how I even communicate. Okay? How I even communicate, how I deal with things. I reflect that. His light in me is meant to reflect that. You know, when I look at a flower, a beautiful rose, I know the soil it was grown in was beautiful. It was perfect soil. It had the right nutrients. I know it had the right amount of water. I know it had the right amount of light. That's what it reflects to me. That's what it speaks to me. When we walk into a room and the light of Christ is shining on us, people are meant to say, wow, I see you've had the right nutrients that you've been grown in, the right foundation that you've been planted in. Wow, you've been taking in the right water, the right refreshing to make you grow, and you've been receiving enough sunlight to make you radiate. Because I see how you look different. Remember Moses coming off the mountain? He was glowing like a ghost. And it wasn't done for his benefit. It was done so that the people knew he's radiating the glory and the presence of God. That he was with God. He encountered God. God, his glory was on him and reflected through him to everyone around him. It wasn't just, hey, you know, so it was a little bright up there and, you know, your skin changed. That's not what it was. He wasn't at the top of the mountain too close to the sun. He came down reflecting the light of God that he had to cover his face because the people couldn't handle it. It was too much for them. We cannot be a people that say, I can't handle it. Because Jesus made a way for us to handle it. See, we have been built and born with the capacity to host his presence. And I've said this before, you know, one of our continual prayers, Lord, help us position ourselves to receive more of what you're pouring out. Help us to increase our capacity to host you more. Let your light have more room to shine in and on us so that we can have you shine through us, Lord. We want more. We want your light to reflect what you are doing in our lives and the changes that are taking place, that I'm not meant to be the way I always was. I'm meant for change. As much as I personally hate change, and I know most of us don't like change, but we are meant for change. That's something God is still teaching me today. You know, we are meant to change. We're meant to grow because change is a byproduct of growth. If I'm not changing, I'm not growing. I could be regressing, but I'm not growing. I'm wilting away. If this plant, this beautiful plant that is growing, all of a sudden you take the light away and everything that nurtures it, you take it from the beautifully potted foundation that it was planted in and put it in dirt you got from the beach, what you're going to watch it is wilt away because it's not continually getting what it needs from the source that it needs it from. I am the light of life. And he prefaces by saying, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Not, Lord, I'll take a ride with you tonight. And then we'll say our goodbyes. And we'll move on with life. He who walks with me daily. He who makes the conscious choice, where their mind is now determined, makes the decision, the way we think is our mind, makes decision to choose to walk with you every single day, to position myself to receive your light. Let you radiate on me so that I can grow externally, or the growth externally will be a revelation of what's seeping through me internally. The light, how light's affecting me internally. And then my will is humbled before you, Lord, that I choose to follow you even when I don't feel like it. When I'm not motivated to. When I'd rather sit home and watch TV. When I look and go, man, that's too much work. It's easy for me just to lash out, or easy for me to react a certain way instead of, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to say, Lord, I repent right now. I change my mind of the way I've been doing things and the way things are. What is your way, Lord? I'm going to get my way out of your way. What is your way, Lord? How do I handle this right now? What do I need to do to have you break through in this right now. What needs to happen right now, Lord? And then my emotions are going to say, you know what? I'm going to stir myself up for the things of you today. I'm going to stir myself up for your way. I'm going to stir myself up to do it your way, because that's what Scripture calls us to do. Stir yourselves up. In other words, get excited. Get your blood, your spiritual adrenaline pumping for what God's about to do and what He is doing right here, right now. You don't want God to stir you up, because anytime He stirred up the people, it was out of judgment in Scripture. We are meant to stir ourselves up in Him. And that's where emotions come in. That's where the components of our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We line them up with you, Lord, and we're pressing forward and we're moving forward in you. And we're going to fight. And we're going to go, even when it doesn't seem easy and doesn't even make sense to our mind. We're going to go, Lord. We're going to trust you. See, not walk in darkness now takes on a new way, a new meaning, when you attach it to the light of life. Not walk in darkness means now, Lord, I am not stagnated in my spiritual growth and development. I'm not running like a mouse on a wheel or a hamster on a wheel over and over again. I'm not banging my head anymore. I'm growing. I've got a place to get to. I am moving forward in the things that you have already established for me, Lord. I am growing as I was meant to grow, because you are nurturing me. You are giving me the nutrients I need, the vitamins, you know, the vitamin, spiritual vitamin D that I need from your light, for me to grow as I need to and reflect who you are. I'm not going to wilt away or begin to deteriorate. I'm not going to lose my luster. Even more so, I'm not going to lose my usefulness. In fact, I'm going to find my usefulness. I'm going to find my purpose. I love the story of Onesimus in the book of Philemon, because when the name Onesimus literally means useless, and the story goes, he was a slave in Philemon's house, or a servant. Philemon had a home church in his home, but he wasn't saved. He ran away. He ran into Paul in jail. He got converted and chose to follow Jesus Christ from those moments on. Paul writes the letter Philemon back to Philemon, saying he was useless to you before, but now I'm sending him back to you as a brother. He's now useful to you, really useful to the kingdom. In the light of life, my purpose and usefulness that has always been there, that's always been my potential. No plant that is planted, or seed that is planted, or baby plant that you know you replant to grow. You plant with the purpose of having it die in 3 days. I don't know who would say, I'm going to spend money on seeds because I want to watch them die. God didn't look and say, I'm going to spend my life of my son so that these people will die. I'm going to spend the life and the work of Jesus so I can just watch these people just reject him and die, spiritually and in life. I have come that you might have life, and life everlasting, is what Jesus said. I've come to do the will of my Father and restore your reconnection with him so that you will have a flow of the nutrients you need through me, in me, because I am the light of the world. I am the light of life. So you will grow and be everything you are meant to be. See, we get our identity from the light of Christ. We get our authority, our power, and our purpose from Jesus. All that comes from Him, right? All that comes from Him. He said, you lift me up, I'll lift you up to my Father. He said, I'm giving you my Spirit. He said, you will do what you've seen me do and more in my Spirit. When you ask anything in my name, in my authority, my Father will answer your prayer. So He's given us all these things in Him, through Him, in His light. Let it radiate through you. John 9, 4 and 5 says, Jesus says, must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, while the time is here. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, now with everything that I just shared, this should take on a whole different meaning, right? We look at this and say, Jesus is saying, I have to do the work of Him who sent me because the night's coming when no one can work, which means, oh, evil's here. That's not what or Jesus is gone. What He's talking about is there's going to come a time where your opportunity to do what you were called to do, equipped to do, purposed to do, created to do. Just to go back to the Hebrews passage when He says, through the blood of Jesus, blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you till it is well-pleasing in His sight. There's going to come a time when Jesus is going to say, it's time to clock out. Your opportunity to do work is over. So let's do what we need to do right now. Must do the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. The work has to stop. Because the next phase, the next thing to come that opens the door and leads into eternity is going to take place. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as Jesus is in me and I am still in this world, He is the light of the world through me. He's still working today. This verse did not mean when He was resurrected and then glorified and left this planet physically that it ended. Why? Because His Spirit is alive in me. He gave me His Spirit. He said, I have to go so that you can have my Spirit the Father's going to send so you can do much more than me in the way I do things. I gave you the blueprint. Now I'm giving you the authority and the power to do it in your life and beyond. And impart it and release it and do those awesome things. Because I am in you as the Father is in me. But there's going to come a time when we'll have to clock out. The work day, so to speak, is over. When no one can work. So it's time to grow right now. It's time to grow right now. Paul writes, when people heard rumors of Jesus coming in Thessalonians, Jesus that He had returned, those false rumors, and people quit working, quit doing things for the kingdom, Paul tells them, wait, stop. Here are the signs when Jesus returns. Until these real signs show up, keep doing what you were called to do. Keep doing the work of the one who sent me, who through me, the work is meant to continue in you and through you to the next generation and generations to come. Keep it going till these things happen. So in Him and only Him, we can do the work that we've been called to do. We've been established to do. We've been equipped to do. We've been created to do and meant to fulfill. He is the light of this world, and this light continues in us. His light is meant to be passed on. You know, we ceremonially, at some, especially at Christmas time, we light the candle and we spread it. So we've meant to spread that light. He's shown it in us. He says, I am this light. You take it. Let it be in you. Let me shine on you, in you, through you, so it'll touch somebody else, so it'll shine on them, in them, through them, so it'll touch somebody else, so that they will grow and be nurtured physically and spiritually with the evidence of what's going on in them being the physical changes in their lives and how they live in the choices they make and who they are becoming as they fulfill their purpose and destiny in Him right here, right now, while it is still day. Would you stand with me right now? Just bow your heads and just position yourself again in that receiving position. Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the revelation that you have given each one of us this morning as we've just tuned ourselves to you and listened to you. And we thank you that it's coming. And I feel like as you right now are really having an intimate moment with Jesus, he's bringing more revelation. So I'm just going to stop for a few seconds and let him speak to you. Lord, yes, Lord.